风声、雨声、开盘声，声声入耳。股市、汇市、房市、天下事，事事关心。欢迎收听西雅图中文电台每周财经节目。每周财经节目由瑞迈太平洋房地产 REMAX Pacific 总裁胡秀平、山里胡冠名播出。电话425-321-2659。
2021年2月26日星期五，各位听众朋友们大家晚上好，这里是西雅图中文电台每周财经节目，我是主持人静怡。首先我们来共同回顾一下本周的股市动态。美股周五收盘涨跌不一，科技股反弹推动了纳指的收高。美股三大股指在二月份的最后一周均录得了跌幅，但整个二月以来表现是录得涨幅。近日美债收益率飙升，使一些投资者担心美联储可能被迫削减 QE 或提早加息。个人消费开支指数显示通胀压力和缓，纳指收盘下跌 469.64 点，或 1.50%， 报 30,932.37 点。纳指涨 72.91 点，或 0.56%， 报 13,192.34 点。标普500指数跌 18.19 点，或 0.48%， 报 3,811.15 点。本周累计道指下跌 1.8%， 纳指下跌 4.9%， 标普500指数下跌 2.5%。 在2月份道指上涨 3.2%， 纳指上涨 0.9%，标普500指数则上涨 2.6%。 最新的个人消费开支 PCE 价格指数显示1月份通货膨胀压力温和，令一些投资者感到欣慰。作为美联储最看重的通胀指标，2月的 PCE 价格指数环比上涨 0.3%， 略高于 0.2 的预期，但同比仅上升 1.5%， 符合市场的预期。周五美国十年期国债收益率下降约6个基点，降至了 1.46%。 周四该收益率一度突破了 1.6%。 自今年年初以来，美国十年期国债收益率已上涨超过50个基点。十年期国债收益率被用作抵押贷款与汽车贷款的基准利率，其迅速的上升引起了市场对通胀升温、美联储将不得不缩减 QE 或提早加息的担忧。瑞银场内交易主管 Art 在周五表示，如果市场开始相信美联储在某种程度上失去了对债券市场走势的控制，那么所有有关缩减恐慌的想法将会浮出水面。所谓的缩减恐慌指的是市场对美联储将大规模购买、减少大规模购买资产的计划的恐慌。经济学家和投资经理普遍认为，随着疫苗的推出和 GDP 预期的改善，企业的盈利将随之提升，债券市场对积极的经济前景做出了反应，但债券收益率的上升也可能预示着未来通胀提高速度会快于预计。汇市方面，在周五美元跑赢了所有其他的即时货币，创近六周来的最佳的单周表现。美债收益率虽大幅下滑，但仍保持在一年来的高点附近。一位纽约交易员表示，美元也受到了止损以及美国时段午后的月末资金流的支撑。欧元对美元大幅下跌，美元对日元创下半年来的新高，来到了 106.69。 澳元和纽元等风险货币表现最差。美元指数上涨 0.78% 至 90.91， 为一周最高水平。周五公布的数据显示，美国一月的消费支出录得七个月来的最大的涨幅，但通胀仍较温和。由于全球疫苗接种速度加快以及对全球增长改善的乐观情绪，支撑了通胀将上升的压住。国债收益率飙升，这也导致着投资者消化的收紧货币政策时间早于美联储和其他央行暗示的时间线。欧安娜高级市场分析师 Edward 谋亚表示，美联储并没有真正暗示，这令他们感到不安，因为债券市场将继续上涨， 美元的走势正表现着这一点。CIBC World Markets 即时外汇策略主管 Jeremy Stretch 表示，美元走势是受收益率走势的驱动。他指出，十年期国债收益率周四短暂攀升至标普500派息收益率上方，是表明有一定的不确定性。我们再来看一下大宗商品方面，首先看一下黄金期货。金价在周五随着交易员减持而进一步下跌，现货黄金一度跌于50美元，创下了去年6月17日以来的新低，来到了 1717.34 美元每盎司，二月累计下跌了 6.15% 左右，创出了2016年底以来的最大的单月的跌幅。因美元走强和经济改善预期降低了对这种避险风产的需求。BMO Capital Markets 金属衍生产品交易主管台王表示，今天美股开盘后，黄金受到了猛烈的冲击，在隔夜时段未能守住每盎司1760至1765美元的关键水平后，投资者出售了黄金的持仓。金价在今年以来已经跌于 8% 左右，因市场聚焦在整个经济复苏前景和美债收益率上升，这降低了没有利息收益的黄金的吸引力。黄金交易所交易基金的持有量也降至了7月以来的最低。最后我们再来看一下原油期货方面的消息。美油大跌 3%， 创出了11月份以来的最大的下跌。美元走强以及对通货膨胀的担忧，给油价有记录以来的最佳年度开局带来了一定的压力。不过由于全球库存缩紧以及需求的回升，在本月美国基准原油价格仍上涨了近 18%。 根据美国官方的数据来看，2020年美国国内原油产量出现首次的下跌。年初至今，原油价格创下了历史同期的最大涨幅，部分原因是因为 OPEC 加联盟限制了产量，令整个全球的库存大幅减少。此外，摩根大通表示，最近史无前例的寒冬也导致了美国数百万桶的产能停产，石油市场的日供应量比先前预期少大约10万桶。由于北海油田进行重大的维修，在未来的几个月，石油的供应趋紧的状况仍然是可能会恶化的。OPEC 及盟友即将开会决定整个的产量水平。尽管俄罗斯也表示了赞成进一步放松减产，但该国在2月的石油产量低于了 OPEC 加设定的目标，表明该国未能充分利用1月份 OPEC 加会议后更加宽松的产额配额。我们进入节目的第二个阶段，全球大公司动态。伯克希尔哈撒韦公司的首席执行官股神沃伦巴菲特已经接种了新冠疫苗，这位90岁高龄的价值投资者已经接种了辉瑞公司的两剂新冠疫苗。巴菲特的长期业务伙伴97岁高龄的查理芒格也接种了两剂辉瑞疫苗的注射，过程很顺利。备受投资者关注的巴菲特2021年股东信将于北京时间本周六晚间发布。受到疫情的影响，2021年的巴菲特股东大会仍在线举办。辉瑞公司和 BioNTech 已启动一项研究，测试这两家公司共同研发的新冠疫苗是否能对人体提供保护，对抗新出现的变种病毒。这两家公司已经开始了这项小型的研究，以了解其新冠疫苗在接种第三剂之后是否会增强对变种新冠疫苗的有效性，例如在南非首次出现的新毒株。美国食品药品管理局疫苗和有关生物制品咨询委员会建议将强生公司开发的新冠疫苗作为美国防疫工作的第三种疫苗，他们支持向该公司疫苗批准紧急使用授权，也就是 EUA。 该委员会的建议并不具有约束性。 印度正在制定新规来监管 Facebook、WhatsApp 和 Twitter 等互联网公司，成为这些美国互联网巨头面临的一个新挑战。而印度这个巨大的市场正是他们进行全球扩张的关键。周四公布的新指南表示，为了应对虚假消息和暴力材料等线上问题，中介媒体必须建立投诉解决机制来解决用户对网络公布的投诉，并与政府分享各公司负责投诉管理人员的姓名和详细的联系方式。这些管理人员必须在一天内确认投诉，并在15天内解决。 Facebook 在周五宣布已同澳大利亚3家媒体公司签署意向书。此前一天，澳大利亚议会通过一项法律，强制要求 Facebook 向媒体公司支付使用其平台上的内容的费用。 Facebook 表示，公司已和拥有在线杂志的 Private Media、 Sports Media 和 Southeast Media 签署合作协议。这项协议将为 Facebook 带来一系列新的优质新闻报道，包括一些之前的付费内容。周二， Facebook 已经和澳大利亚大型新闻媒体公司 7West Media 就内容版权建立新合作关系。夏普将于3月出售属于权益法适用公司的涉足液晶面板公司运营的介显示器产品 SDP 的全部的股权，将在确保电视液晶面板采购的基础上出售持续亏损的 SDP 的股权，将剥离与中国企业竞争激化导致收益并不稳定的 SDP 专注于家电等业务。买家和出售额并未透露， SDP 在2019年营收是990亿日元，最终是亏损额是196亿日元，连续两年陷入最终的亏损。巴西电信监管机构 Anatel 在周四批准了今年 5G 网络频谱拍卖的规则，没有对华为作为设备供应商施加任何限制。巴西的电信公司坚持要建立一个自由的市场，并抱怨如果将华为排除在外，将会花费数十亿美元来更换华为的设备。目前来看，巴西的 50% 的 3G 和 4G 网络是由华为提供的。美国电话电报公司 AT&T 同意将旗下付费电视部门的部分股权出售给私募股权投资公司德泰投资，也就是 TPG， 并剥离这一项陷入困境的业务。此举意味着 AT&T 退出在娱乐领域的豪赌。这笔交易将使 DirecTV 和 AT&T TV 在美国的服务并入一个新实体，由 AT&T 和德泰投资共同运营， AT&T 将保留该业务 70% 的股权，德泰投资将支付18亿美元现金获得 30% 的股权。该交易对新公司的估值为 162.5 亿美元，债务约为64亿美元， AT&T 将从这笔交易中获得约78亿美元的现金用于偿还债务。丰田等日本国内8家乘用车企业在2021年的2月25日汇总了1月份的全球产量为2106186台，同比是减少 4.5%。 由于全球半导体缺损，在本田和斯巴鲁等在国内外减少了生产，半导体的供给不足长期化，在新冠疫情生产的前景充满着不确定性。本田在1月全球产量是减少了 8.8%， 降至351000台，斯巴鲁的全球产量减少了 29.2%， 降至了63000台，丰田在销量强劲的中美市场的拉动下，产量增加了 4.0%， 升至了741000台，日产值增加 2.4%， 增至了31万台。好，我们进入节目的第三个阶段，话题讨论。首先，我们来欢迎本周的嘉宾 Sam。
Hello everyone。
今天我们要讨论一个什么话题呢？今天我们讨论的话题可以说是和每个人息息相关，一个是你自己的居家住房，还有一个就是商业的地产。 商业的地产呢，就比如说是包括我们平常去的一些 shopping mall 啊，或者是一些 open space. Hey Sam, today we're going to talk about two things. Both I think is related to everyone. One is a house, is consumer real estate. Another one is like commercial real estate, like shopping malls or some open space right now in the commercial real estate. So based on those two aspects, is there anything you would like to share with us?
Yes, that's a wonderful topic. Yes, I would like to kind of start with consumer real estate and talk about commercial real estate and if there are any sort of opportunities between those two. So in the consumer real estate, you know, a lot of people are finding it hard to buy a house, even if they wanted to. And to just kind of give you some numbers, roughly at the end of 2014, there were about 1.3 million homes available for sale. As of, you know, right about now,2021 February, there's only 468,000 houses. That's more than half less. So that's a big development, which is concerning and hard for first-time home buyers.
像 Sam 刚刚说到的两大数据，关于现在的个人住房来说，是在2014年呢，其实有将近130万个，在全国来看，美国来看是待售住房，而现在我们再来看一下2021年呢，现在不足50万，这个大幅的下降当然就会导致现在许多像比如说是购买住房啊，很难购买到住房，因为现在整个的待售房屋的库存量是惊人的低。 So we're saying like there's I think it's one over third based on the number you share with usLike regarding how many house is ready for sale. What's the reason? Why is it happening? Definitely, I think one is pandemic.
Yeah,
is that
you're
the only reason or is there something else behind the hood?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And pandemic is a big part of it. So, you know, if you think about the general makeup of homeowners that typically will...sell existing homes, they might already be ready for retirement and they're looking for a smaller house. And in general, people are also very much afraid of the pandemic, right? So if you think about the people that might own the inventory of homes that might sell them, they're older and they might be more susceptible to the pandemic. And then there's a general fear of, okay, let's have people come into my house so they can look at it. So that's a big aspect of it.
So you say the first reason is from the supply perspective, the owner tend to be more risky to the pandemic. Thus, there are less people will getting into supply the house sales.
Exactly. That's the first big reason, yes.
第一个原因 Sam 提到就是在供应方方面呢，因为在美国大部分的供应商在房主来说是出现在婴儿潮一代。也就是说他们即将退休，是在五六十年代出生的，但是他们呢相对来说也是患冠状病毒风险较高，所以在他们看来呢，近一年确实不是最好的时机出售他们的房子。 Is there any other reasons?
Yeah, there's another really big reason, and if you think back to the last housing crisis, there was a housing bubble as all of us have experienced in some way, shape or formAnd because of that, there was a big supply problem afterwards because of the financial crisis. So there was already, before the pandemic, a bit of a new home construction shortage. Then you add on top of that, you need labor to basically, you know, skilled laborers to be able to build those houses. So we adjusted our immigration policies under the Trump administration, and so it was harder to get some of those laborers from outside the United States. Plus, the pandemic...Because people weren't building houses for the previous mentioned reasons, and the pandemic is just making everything strange, those construction workers did other work, and so there's less labor. So there's this lagging home supply problem that's just been kind of there. And then you put all these other factors on top of it, and you just aren't making new homes that would be ready for people to move in.
So the second one, I think, is the first reason you mentioned about supply is sort of like is the second-hand house supply.Right now is a new house, We don't have enough supply from secondhand, like the owners to resell, but we also don't have new house to add to the supply pool as well.
Exactly.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
像 Sam 说到第二个原因就是虽然说在出手二手房的这些供应当中减少，因为房主的年龄的关系，第二个原因呢就是新房的上市率也很少，因为就比如说像提到的建房者呀，就是在整个新冠期间影响的是方方面面，所以就没有那么多的建房者，所以导致整个新房的出货量也是在减少。 In another way, how about renting?
Renting is actually strange. Renting is sort of in an odd place because normally house prices go up, rental prices go up. What's happening currently is renting is going down, and also there's an issue with maybe a little bit too much supply because many people, because they've lost jobs or they don't need to work in the office or the neighborhood or the city that they moved to, they might be living with family or friends. And so the rental market is actually cooled off. And the other thing is,If you think about why would you buy a house, the previous assumptions on what you needed in a house were based on the fact that you're probably going to need a home office, or you won't need a home office, sorry. But now all of a sudden, if you're going to do all this remote work, you might need a bigger house. And so there's a supply quality issue as well, not just the quantity. And so there's these really interesting interplay going on between rental, home ownership, and needs, and those needs changing because we don't know whatthe labor market is going to be like, what your job is going to be like.
像提到的整个的一个租房的状况和买房的一个状况，下面提到一点，就是在经济学家通常的情况下是预计租金和房价在一定的区间内是共同变动的，就比如说房价增长，租金增长，房价减少，租金也减少。但是在今年呢，出现了一个非常非常有趣的一个现象吧，就是出现了一个分歧。现在呢是房价还是在继续增长，但是租金出现了下滑的状态。在这么一种情况下，有很多猜测，就比如说是没有那么大的劳动力市场，因为新冠发生以来有很多人失业，所以有很多人可能也就是不再需要租房，而就搬回和自己的家人居住等等的一个状况。所以整个的这个一个不对劲的这样一个迹象呢，其实也引起了很多人的关注。So, Sam, for next, like, we're seeing about this very sort of like a diverging between rent and house. It's also a little bit abnormal if we take a look at the previous years. Is there any prediction what's going to happen?
So, we can consider this as a sign that there might be a housing bubble.Right? So normally, when the last crisis, the housing crisis happened, there was a big increase in home prices and a sharp decrease in rental. So this is, based on some reporting, this is more likely to be pandemic behavior, but it is, as you said, maybe an indicator that there might be something else going on. So it's happened happened in the past, and it's usually indicated some sort of bubble.
就像 Sam 刚刚说到的，还有一些有关的研究人员也表示，说现在的这种房地产市场呢，看上去是和以前不同，但大家确实也不知道可能会发生什么，所以很多猜测，就比如说有人说是不是下一个房地产泡沫即将发生，但是也并不一定是迫在眉睫，或者这就是一个在一个新冠疫情情况下出现的一种房地产的一个标识。我们说完了房地产方面，我们再看一下在整个的一个商业用地方面有没有一些新的一个迹象。After talking about the commercial one, right? The consumer one. How about commercial? Because right now, I know for me, like last few weeks, I went to like the shopping mall in Seattle area.I do see there are a lot of vacancies right now. I see like theaters is still not opening, and some like if I'm not like remember wrong, there are some of like the brand is already moving out of malls. Is there something happening in the commercial side right now?
Yeah, there's actually a bit of excitement in the commercial space. So there's indicators and investors are excited. The owners of commercial real estate are optimistic about the economic recovery because the pandemic has, from their perspective, an end. And they are hoping to be ready for the economic recovery so that those empty spaces that you rightly called out will be ready for customers when they come back, because they are hoping that there will be massive demand and they will be ready for it instead of seeing the recovery and then trying to react to it. So it's actually a positive story from their perspective.
像 Sam 说的，在 commercial 方面呢，整个的商业用地方面其实是很乐观的，因为有一大部分人员，一个投资者呢是认为现在因为已经整个的一个事态较趋于相对于去年来说趋于稳定，所以大家期待着整个经济的再次复苏。所以像摩根大通啊研究也表示，在近二月中旬以来也已发行了约40亿美元的抵押债品的抵押贷款的一个抵押品，比去年同期上升46%。然后商业方面呢，是支持新发行量的债券市场呢也是在逐步增加的，就是一些整个的一个投资者压注在整个经济会上涨，所以他们现在现在压注在一个叫做短期房地产贷款，所以整个短期房地产贷款呢使得一些人员可以用这些贷款呢重新翻新整个的 commercial 的 real estate。 It's very interesting like how that works. What do you think the new commercial real estate going to be used? Do you think it's going to be, I know they're going to try to remodeling after they got the mortgage. Like, is there any indication or indicators about how the commercial real estate going to look like? Is it going to be malls or is it going to be theaters or is it something completely new?
That's a wonderful question. So we can basically say we don't know for sure, but we know what some people are doing. So we may be able to tease out what more people will do, more commercial real estate owners will do. So for example, a lot of malls are starting to take these short-term loans from investors to be able to update their malls. They might make office space out of them. So if they had a big gym or something like that and that gym went out of business, they might make it into a big office space. That's one thing that we're seeing. The other thing is they're just trying to make their facilities nicer, upgrades, other things of that nature, right? So those are the few nice things that we're probably going to see, which is not typical in a mall, you know, having office space, but it's starting to become a offering that they're considering.
Cool. 像 Sam 说到的，确实是有一部分的投资者呢是坚信随着疫苗的推出和美国重新站起，经济将卷土重来，这也是房地产市场的巨大机遇。好，以上就是节目的全部内容，非常感谢大家的收听，我们下期再见。
每周财经节目由瑞迈太平洋房地产 REMAX Pacific 总裁胡秀平山里胡冠名播出，电话4253212659。